From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fan, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, happy new year to you too. The Rink Podcast, the Bleed Blue Show. The New York Rangers fall to the Buffalo Sabres by a score of 4-1 at the Garden. A way to kick off the new year at the home at Madison Square Garden. Bleed Blue Show, BleedBlueShow.com, Twitter, Instagram, Google+. We're always joined by Ranger Proud. Get his thoughts on the Rangers heading into the new year, and also get his thoughts on his new year too as well. You get the Ranger Proud on Facebook, Twitter, Ranger Proud on Instagram. That's Ranger.Proud on Instagram. Frank the man, I know it's a loss, but I'm kind of being a cheery, a jolly mood, however I want to do it for this new year, dude. But how's it going, man? How's everything?
It's going very good. You know, good new year. Nice relaxing time with the family and all. And back at work today. How was your New Year's?
It was all right, man. You know what, dude? I was sort of exhausted. It was a lot of traveling mainly for the Knicks. That's another story for another day. But overall, okay. Watched a lot of shows. Watched a lot of college football. Definitely caught some of the Rangers on the West Coast in Arizona and Colorado. We'll get to that in a few, but I know this is the post game versus the Sabres. Let's focus on this game since it's the last recent activity airing this episode. I know you were a little frustrated during the game. I'd like to hear your thoughts as far as how Buffalo pretty much outworked the Rangers all night long. That's pretty much what it came down to. Now, I think they caught a little bit of heat. And their fan base on a poor performance in the prior game. But, you know, that's not really our problem. We should have handled them tonight. But we had a little recent struggles versus Jack Eichel, even on the last game in Buffalo, the time we played him, and now tonight.
Yeah, he's got a number that guy. He has everybody's number. He's playing really well with Buffalo. The Rangers just seem to – they came out really flat. They seem to have this problem, the Rangers, giving up the early goal, the – first period goals. I don't remember the last time Lundqvist gave up so many goals in the first period, whether it's, you know, two goals or three goals or the last minute goals. It's been an unusual season for him. He still doesn't seem comfortable, which is unusual to say. Not that he's not playing bad, just sometimes if they get down early in the game, the whole team all of a sudden, at one point they were really, you knew they can come back and play hard and, you know, and make it a game. And tonight you kind of felt it from the get-go. They were very flat. Don't know why, you know, coming off of, you know, a holiday. But, you know, they played two games last week, so it was just a three-day break. It was nothing crazy or dramatic. So I don't understand why they would come out flat. I'm sure AV's saying the same thing. But they just didn't seem to have it from the beginning. They never really, you know, they had a couple of good opening drives in the opening minutes of the game, and then they just scored one, you know, on a freaky kind of a goal there. Before you know it, they scored one late, which is always a killer for the Rangers. Or for any team, got 38 seconds left, they make it 2-0. And then they just never seemed – they were never able to turn it around. It was a long game. Everybody looked a little flat and very unusual for them to come out. I mean, they're a much better team, at least on paper, than the Sabres are. I've looked them twice already this year, so – I don't really know why or what happened. Like you said, try not to get too frustrated with it. It is only one game. But there were a lot of negatives. You can see what we've been talking about, a lot of little defensive problems here. And now it looks like the offense wasn't clicking too much. They played a lot of hockey, so it's a combination of things. Today, if you look at the stats, were the reason why the team lost. There are a lot of negative numbers. You know, just don't seem to have that jump. They're really starting to mismatch. You could see it. They don't have that one go-to person anymore. And hopefully he's going to make this road trip, so they're thinking he's going to play one of the next two games. But, you know, these are the games that we keep saying the Rangers need to find a way to win, and tonight they found a way to lose.
Oh, man. I mean, you said so many points. I don't know where to start.
You got to stop me.
Man, where do I start? You said a lot of things. I'm trying to gather one by one. I want to go one by one on the point. So let me ask you this, with the Rangers, and particularly tonight. And it's a clash of two negatives. It's about if the Rangers come out flat, And Lundqvist, to your point, is very uncomfortable. What could we go off of more? For instance, the reason why I say that is I thought this was a game where we were going to be somewhat similar in the Ottawa game. We got off to a slow start versus Ottawa, and we were able to come back and win that game. I thought that had that Ottawa feel to it early on. It really did to me.
Yeah.
I thought, but you also said at the same time, Lundqvist's uncomfortability. I mean, which two are, they're both bad, but I mean, which
one
can
you? They're both bad in that they're, you like to say that they're two separate problems, but if you're not getting, sometimes you need to get the big save early in the game. You know, it gets the goaltender into the game, it gets your team into the game. And not that he's in the bad goals, and it just seems that teams are scoring. And he even said this in an interview within the last couple of days. They seem to be scoring early on him. And it doesn't mean, not necessarily a bad goal. It could be a beautiful goal. You know what I'm saying? But however you look at it, you're halfway through the first period, you're 5 minutes into the first period, and they're losing 1-0. I mean, it was 5.5 minutes into the game, and Buffalo already had a goal. It's very uncharacteristic of the Rangers and of Lundqvist. And you can't play from behind all the time. You need to lead a little bit.
But they have the firepower.
It changes your whole style.
But they have the firepower to come play from behind too, though. I mean, I don't think it's an inner world to get down.
They absolutely can play. But you want to know, it's harder to play from behind. No matter the firepower or not, you can't always be giving up the first goal. They need to come out a lot harder in the opening faceoffs than they're not. It just changes the complexity of the game. It makes your game easier if you take the 1-0 lead, especially with the firepower the Rangers have. One leads to two, leads to three. Here, you know, you can't be down to to Buffalo, and it makes the game so much harder. I just think they're, when they come on the ice, especially at home, they just, I don't know if they're sitting back or if they're nervous or if they're squeezing the sticks too much, but they're going to have to figure out what's going on, because like you said, you can't have the team playing bad and Lundqvist giving up an early goal, because they would, from the get-go, they would be hard and they never really caught up.
Mm-hmm. Well, so what is it as far as being a flat thing, as far as Lundqvist? One's got to give, both of them have got to give, but one's got to give first. Like, is it going to be Lundqvist's, his on and off goaltending this season? Is it the Rangers coming out flat, or how do you see this coming out going forward after which was versus a Buffalo team who kind of needed this game for them?
Well, you want to know. The team has been very reliant on Lundqvist over the last 11 years. They always seem to be, he'll carry us, he'll stand on his head. And now that that's not happening as much, all of a sudden other things are resulting from that. But I just think the team has to just go out on the ice and just play their game. You know, they said it in pregame today. They have to come out and play their style of hockey, be aggressive, speed, forechecking. And Buffalo did that to them in the beginning of the game. So I can't give a reason why. I don't understand why a team would come out flat. I don't think, of course, they don't want to come out flat. It's just sometimes they just don't look sharp at the beginning of a hockey game. And the beginning of the game dictates the whole game sometimes, most of the time. So I expect them to come out a little bit harder, a little bit more on the puck. And tonight, if you notice, Steve, the top players were the guys that were struggling. Zuccarello didn't have a great game. Kreider didn't have a great game. Leafy didn't have a great game. And that starts to – it's going to happen. Let's be realistic. No one's going to play great every single night. And the weight of the world is on Zuccarello's shoulders right now, especially with Nash out. But when those guys are having a tough night, the whole team seems to have a tough night. So you just want to just hope they can still – it's okay if one guy slumps. When two or three guys are having a bad game, they had to bring Jenkins up. They lost Pumple on a concussion. He's been playing really well. So everyone says, it's only one injury, but it's Pumple, it's Nash, Buchanan is still out, Zibanejad is still out. These are guys that are all contributing to the team. It's not like I'm not knocking a player, but it's not like a fourth-line player that, can't play today. Okay, it's no big deal. With the Rangers, all their lines contribute. So when you have four guys out of the lineup, it hurts. There's only so many people that are able to come up from the minors and do what they're supposed to do. I didn't think they played bad defensively. I mean, the second goal that Kane scored, it was a bad line change. Holden just couldn't get back in time, and they scored the goal. That's going to happen, but you got to blame it on the coach a little bit too, because if the Rangers need to first get the puck out of the zone and get it deep before you make your line changes, and that didn't happen. So that's kid stuff. You know, they do that from Pee Wee hockey, and mistakes get made, and you just move on from that. But, you know, with 38 seconds to go in the game, now you're down 2-0, and it changes the whole start. I thought once they made it 3-1, they had a little bit of momentum going there when Holden scored. I was listening to Dave Maloney on the radio, and he was saying, you know, if you get that one goal towards the end of the second, you come into the third period up 2, you got a goal, then they take an early penalty, and they score, and your momentum went out the window. So they're going to have to find ways to win these kind of hockey games. The scoring isn't where it was, which was expected, but you have to find ways to beat teams like Buffalo. We can't have these kind of starts. Now tomorrow you have to take this loss into Philadelphia, which is going to be a whole other battle.
All right, hold on, man. Well, let me say this, because I didn't think – you said Zuccaro didn't have a good game. I didn't think he had a bad game either. He kind of had an average game. I thought he had quality shots on goal tonight. He had a few opportunities. They just Anders Nielsen actually stood up to the task tonight versus a lot of the shots that he did have to face. I thought Zuccaro parts of the game he had good passes. He had a couple of in between the skate passes, the Kreider. You got to give credit to the goaltender for the Sabres to really stop Kreider, where you know Zuccarello could have got the assist, or even when Zuccarello won the faceoff, it was the very next faceoff, and he found Stepan. Stepan was unable to cash in. I thought Zuccarello had a decent game, but if you want to talk as a team as a whole, I mean, if you add it all up, the team didn't play well, but the individual guys here and there did okay. They had their opportunities. Just didn't cash in tonight. I just think it was more the theme of tonight's game was more about Buffalo was so deep in the zone all night long. They just won the one-on-one matchups, and they played rebound hockey, meaning they didn't even try the first shot on goal on Lundqvist. They didn't really try to get the goal. They just wanted to put it on the net and let somebody crash and get a rebound and punch it in. I think half the goals were like that, you know?
Yeah. I agree. I think what I'm trying to say with Zuccaro, the problem right now with Zuc is here's the dilemma that people have to decide what's more valuable. Is it better to get the assist or is it better to get the goal? Now, granted, that both an assist results in a goal, so that's a positive. But the problem with Zuc now is that all the teams know he's looking to pass more than shoot. He's going to have to start to shoot more. He's a guy that had, 20 or 21 goals last year. He's doing great with his assists, but he's not scoring nearly at the pace he was scoring this year because I feel always looking to pass. And if I can see that, don't you think the coaches and the defensemen are seeing that too? He has a great shot. He's a sniper. He has to start shooting more. He's passing so much to Kreider and so much to Stepan. And I know they're great passes, but
he had five tonight, though. How many do you think he should have had tonight? He had five tonight. He had five shots tonight.
No, and I'm not saying tonight. I'm just saying overall.
Zuccarello
was it? I'm not just saying tonight. What I'm saying is that based on this, on the play of the season, he's much more of a passer than he is a shooter. Last year, I thought he was shooting a lot more. Now, Stepan isn't finishing as nearly well as he normally can, and Zuccarello's passing to a guy who isn't finishing, and this is why I think they're not scoring as much again. Kreider's going to come back, we hope. Kreider's starting to play really well. He's getting a lot of shots on net. Like you said today, he had some really good opportunities.
Yeah, his opportunity.
Sometimes you just – yeah, they did. Look, it wasn't even that they played horrible today, but they did exactly what you said. They got out-hustled.
That's where it happened.
And that's unusual because the Rangers are a fast team. It's hard to out-hustle the Rangers. They're a fast, feisty team. They grind. They dump and chase. They cycle well. So once again, why did they come out so flat tonight? You really don't know. Sometimes it just happens.
You think they were just comfortable the way they won in Arizona and Colorado, and you know, enjoyed the new year, and just probably just came out flat? And I mean, it happens.
It does happen. They didn't have a lot of practice. You know, you got to kind of be scared about that because you know now next week they have this new NHL bye week going on. After Saturday, they're off for 5 days. You don't want them to come back flat. You don't have time to restart the engine. You know what I'm saying? They need to come out and break. They very rarely have 2 or 3 days off in a row with a condensed schedule as it is. So you don't want to have 2 days off in a row or 2.5 days off and then come out and play as flat as this because then what's the purpose? It's either you're going all out playing crazy or you're losing when you come off of a break. So it's something that I'm sure the coaching staff is going to have to look at. The one good thing is they're not going to have a lot of time because they go right back at it tomorrow. And they're just going to have to see what happens. They had a lot of, like you said, they had a lot of positives tonight. They just need to get their forecheck and their speed. When they're forechecking, Steve, they're a dominant hockey team. They're as good as anybody in the league when they're on the puck like that. Tonight, you could see they couldn't get to it, you know. Don't know why. Buffalo played a good game, too. You got to give them credit and tip your hat to their style of play tonight because they've been struggling, as you said. And you just hope, you know, will Lundqvist get a little bit more comfortable? Will I don't really know what the problem is there. He just, I don't know, maybe it's just me. He just doesn't look as confident as when Rantz is in that. But that's also because the team plays a little bit different when Rantz is in that. You know, the same thing when Cam Talbot was here. You know, they expect too much out of Lundqvist.
What about the defenseman tonight? Because, like I said, half the goals that came off rebounds, and there was nobody.
Yeah.
There was nobody on the rebound. You know,
I thought Klein had another tough game.
Let's get on Klein real quick because he got beat by Evander Kane.
Yeah.
Outworked, outmuscled, and this is not the first time this happened to Klein. You know, this happened to Klein several times this year.
He's we've been saying it all along. He looks to be a step behind all season. Last year, he skated so finesse-like. Like, he didn't put any effort into it, and he was skating. Now when he skates, looks like he's struggling. He's struggling to get into play. It's very hard to be a step behind all the time. And remember, most of the time, he's playing with Shea, who's the rookie. So when them two are out there, now you have a little bit of defensive problems. Not that Shea's playing bad, but he is going to make mistakes.
He had a couple of penalties tonight too, though. Brandon, exactly.
And they put him with Klein, thinking Klein's that really good, solid stay-at-home defenseman. And now Klein's getting beat around the outside all the time. So now
you think
they're going
to adjust
to that?
Do you think that Shea Klein needs to be adjusted, though?
Yes. But the problem is where? If you break up the other two units, now you could risk breaking up two defensive pairs.
So it's kind of like
he doesn't want to
use. It's like putting a Band-Aid over a wound. Just gonna have to keep it as it is.
But this is the problem we've been saying all along with the defense. I mean, this isn't a surprise. I mean, we spoke about it tons of times on the podcast. He doesn't like Clint Denning, so he's using these six guys, and now he's unhappy with Klein's play. And now, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
The Rangers are gonna make a move. They gotta make a move before the trade deadline. Because once people really start to recognize it, they're not able to make that big move.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a move to be made, let's not jump the gun like that. If there is a move to be made. So the defensive failures that we see on and off, I mean, they've been very lucky. Stahl's playing really well. McDonough's on fire. Girardi's been playing pretty solid. So those three guys have been pretty good. But then you have Shea, which has been up and down. And you have Klein, that's really been struggling. And Holden's been playing pretty well. He scores.
He's been shooting well. His quality of shots has been good.
I think he's got two goals in the last three games.
Mm-hmm.
He's been playing. He's a solid defenseman. Like I said, the goal he was out there when Kane scored was just a bad line change, and he just couldn't get back to him in time. Another step, and he would have probably been able to hold Kane up a little bit. But, you know, what are we looking at? Four defensemen and two weak links right now. And we're not knocking Shea, but it's the growing pains of a new defenseman in the NHL. He's playing fine, but like you said tonight, sometimes he gets caught and he gets hit with the hugging penalty and the holding penalty and a little interference because he can't keep up with them because, you know, now that you went to the second half of the season, this is the most games he's been playing. And that all, you know, it all adds up. So I don't know, before you say, well, what's the answer, having the foggiest idea. If your seventh defenseman isn't reliable, I don't even know why they haven't either traded him or sent him down or do something. If you're not going to play him, then what is his purpose? I mean, I understand if somebody gets hurt, but you can't wait for an injury. So they're really going to have to figure out what they want to do on the blue line.
I get it. So let me say it like this. I thought on the Buffalo side of things, I thought the goalie Nielsen did his job. He's a big goalie. I wish the Rangers would have attacked him a bit more. So when it comes to bigger goalies, like, you know, guys like Ben Bishop and guys like Nielsen, I want to see more pressure in front of the net with him. You can't get lazy. Like, Brandon Peary pissed me off with that slap shot. He had an open break, and he took a slap shot. No, attack him. Like, you don't take slap shots 3-4 feet past the blue line on a big goalie. I mean, he's pretty much got a good 65-70% of the net already covered because of his, how big he is. You know?
I agree. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
But,
you know, at that point, I think they were just trying to do something. You're right. You know, here's another guy that slowed down a little bit too. So he's just trying to find him though. And you know, see who's really slowed down? Travler. Gets a lot of opportunities, but hasn't been scoring nearly as much as he was earlier, which is okay. But this is what you have to kind of anticipate. I mean, look, I anticipate it to happen to the Columbus Blue Jackets eventually too. No, nothing goes that smooth that long. Eventually, everyone comes back down, and that's where the Rangers are right now. Not playing bad hockey though. You know, it's not like oh, let's throw in the towel, we're done, let's go home. You just, I think, as a Rangers fan, right from the fan side of me, you expect them to win every night, which is not going to happen. So then you try to pinpoint what they did wrong, like we're doing here now. They didn't play a horrible hockey game, but they just always seemed to step behind the Sabres, and that's why they lost.
They were a step behind all night long. All night long.
And if they skate the way you know they can play, and the way we've seen them play this year, they could have buried the Sabres. So sometimes it's just an off night. It's a horrible excuse, but they didn't have their legs. It could have been the layoff. It could have been the holiday. I think they had an option skate today. I don't even know if they skated on the weekend. I didn't really notice it. There wasn't a lot of activity on Twitter at all, so I don't really think they had a lot going on. Now, tomorrow, I expect them to come out fine tomorrow. I mean, if you can't get psyched up to going to Philadelphia, then on national television, what more do you need?
Yeah, a team that's playing actually pretty good in the Flyers.
Aren't they?
Let me say about this, because I thought early on, the Sabres were hitting. They were getting their hits off versus the Rangers in that first period. I'm gonna go to the players, all the players later for the Sabres who I thought stood out. But William Carrier was all over the place tonight. Carrier, how you want to say it? And Cody Franson, they were hitting all over the place. And of course, when it came to the faceoffs, Derek Stepan's got to win these faceoffs, man. I mean, Jack Eichel won every faceoff I thought I saw tonight. Even with that said, the Rangers had quality shots going towards the end of the first period when they were already down 1-0. And I thought that was an opportunity for the Rangers to really get back into the game, you know, tie up the game the way the quality shots. But that Evander Kane goal towards the end of the first period really, really bothered me with that bad line change, with that turnover.
Oh, sure.
And that, putting that puck on the net and then him coming on that weak side again in his, like, ninth goal of the year. It's things like that. Evander Kane was all over the place tonight, man.
He was. He played a solid game tonight. You know, he was fast. He was on the puck a lot. You heard his name a ton of times there. But it's funny. You hit it right on the head a little while ago. Stefan had a horrible night faceoff. He only won 29% of his faceoffs, and he played 20 minutes of hockey tonight. It's just, if he's going to be out there that much, he's got to win faceoffs. Otherwise, he's going to have to, you know, AV is going to have to decide when they're in our own end. Maybe you got to put two guys out there or change it up like they used to do years ago, because you can't keep losing all these faceoffs because they just result in so many opportunities. You don't have the puck enough, things like that. But he had a tough night. Like I said, it's just it. And the Sabres did, when you look at their numbers and how their guys played, they had an excellent night. I mean, just look at their faceoffs. Everybody, except for Okposo, everybody was over 45% on the faceoffs. Every player that took a faceoff. It's amazing.
So why did
it? I didn't look at the numbers.
Let me ask you this. So why Zuccarello, who's actually been successful tonight, doesn't get more faceoff opportunities even with Eichel? Like, what's that? Why Stefan got it? If he's struggling with the faceoffs, why not go to Zuccarello, who actually gave opportunities from the faceoff, winning it, and setting up almost shot on goal attempts at the net?
The only thing I can think of is that when AV puts his lines out there, unless a guy gets thrown out of the faceoff dot, he wants his center taking the faceoffs. Now, I see from your standpoint a lot more, though. If he's having a horrible night, then at least in the defensive zone, have another guy take the faceoff, which is what I was saying before. He doesn't seem to do that. And I couldn't tell you why. That's just how, if you look at how AV coaches, unless a guy gets tossed out, Stefan's taking a faceoff every time he's out there. He's the center. Why he's having so much trouble with it, the Rangers have had trouble for years taking faceoffs. I don't know why they don't get somebody who knows how to take faceoffs and have a separate, you know, repeated session with them, you know. Go get Marc Messier. Go get people who used to work with the team, play for the team, that was very good at winning draws. They just never seemed to be good at it. This year they were getting better. Zibanejad is very good at it. But
there you go.
You know, we're starting,
we made up for that right there. We talked about that.
Yeah, you can't. Even AD said it from the first day he was hurt. You can't replace him. You could bring other people up to fill his spot, but you're not going to replace him. You can't replace Rick Nash. But for as bad as Nash played the last year and a half, he's a different player this year. He's a totally different player this year. That's why I hope they don't rush him back. I don't understand why you bring him back this week. They're off an entire week next week. Don't bring him back to next Friday night. Let him miss this game in the Nashville, in the Columbus game. Make sure his groin is healed up, because it's a nasty little injury. You can think you're fine and take, tweak your leg one way and you rip it again or you pull it again. So, you know, these players aren't going to be replaced. So they're just going to have to do what they have. To answer your question, I have no idea why AV won't mix up his centers. He went from changing lines on a whim, if you remember, Steve, to now he's not changing anything. So I don't know if he just feels that it's going to click, which is not a bad thing, but face-off-wise, they're going to have to improve sometime. You notice it when you lose these kind of games. You know, when you're winning 6-0 and Stefan's only winning 30%, who cares?
Yeah. I mean, for Buffalo, it really came down to me for their second and third lines tonight. Evander Kane was all over the place, like we said. Justin Bailey got his goal. And then like Carrier, he may have been the second star tonight. Hands down, him and Evander Kane. And then Jerrison's and Giunta, awesome games for the Buffalo Sabres tonight. Just their second and third lines were pretty much owning whatever the Rangers were throwing out there. It didn't matter what they were bringing to the table, on, you know, whether it was the Stepan line, the fourth line. The Rangers were just outplayed, man, just straight up outplayed.
Yeah.
But what about in the penalties tonight, though? I mean, especially the defensemen, man. Just undisciplined hockey, just not the effort.
Yeah.
There's really no ways around
too
it.
Many.
Yeah.
It's too many trips and holes. When you see those kind of penalties, it's another example of the team being flat-footed. You know, I mean, and Klein had a lot to do with that because he kept getting beat. But overall, when you look at the kind of penalties that they took, it's just a sign of why, you know, how they struggled, what kind of penalties they were taking in the Capes. Excuse me, a lot of what's going on. They had an interference penalty. They had a slashing penalty. They had another interference penalty. Hookings. It wasn't a lot of penalties, but what they took, like you said, was right. Brady Shea had a holding. Holden had a delay game because he shot the puck out. VC with a hook.
Girardi had a slash, I think.
Girardi had a slash.
On Evander Kane.
I tell you what, the slash, I don't consider a lazy penalty. That's how guys play. I consider the lazy penalty the hookings and the trippings and the holds when they can't, you know, when they're going around them and they tug at them and all. You know the referee is looking for that. It's what they've been told to look for, those holes. Anything to eliminate any sort of trap hockey, they're going to call. And the Rangers had three of them right there. So,
but what
and
if,
that coincides with what we said.
But what about in this case where it came off of Brandon Peary's slap shot and went the other way? So we're talking about
late.
40, 50 feet going
right,
the opposite way.
A bad offensive zone penalty, sure. But that comes down to it. When you're flat, you know, when the Rangers are on their game and that happens, you see them accelerate out of the zone. And here, what did you see instead? They were a step behind, so they take a penalty. And it's a horrible penalty, but it's indicative of what the game was tonight. There aren't a lot of answers to why or how come. They're all professional hockey players. They're all playing a long time. There are these games when they just come out, and we've seen it, you know, a little bit more recently than earlier in the season. They just seemed they came out really flat. They were never in this hockey game.
I was always looking
shifts,
for that moment. I was always looking for that moment
yeah.
in this game. I was waiting for that. They did come on that one goal by Holden. I thought the energy
mm-hmm.
got up, and they got up. But when Eichel got that goal, to make it 4-1 early in that third period,
just
from
show
Sam Reinhart,
how tough. Sure, but look how they were playing. They came out of the second period. They were down 3-1. Then you only have shots on goal the whole third period. Now, what changed? You have 15 shots on goal in the second period. How do you only have 5 in the third period?
They didn't have the first shot
is,
on goal until 15 minutes into the third period.
Exactly. So why? Why are they – how can you be that inconsistent? five.
Must be some
must
be some sort of party in Manhattan after the game.
Something's going on, and maybe they went to Miami with Beckham and everybody. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. They probably don't have on a charter with the wide receivers.
That's New York media right there. But the big deal that they went to Miami. Nobody got in trouble. Nobody got drunk. Nobody got arrested. They went to Miami and came home. Let's talk about it all day today, like they did something wrong. Just the New York market.
Man, I have my thoughts on that. No, I'll say that right now. But you now, my whole thing is this. You better win. And we'll talk about the football team at another time. But if you're going to do that, you better win. Because if you don't,
yeah,
they're going to shoot
you. They did it at the right time. They weren't practicing today, on Monday anyway. It worked. You know, I had no problem with it. It was on, like Odell said, it was on their off time. It didn't affect the Giants' play. It didn't affect anything with practice. It didn't cause an issue. The media stirred this whole thing up.
But you know why? But you know why, though?
Why?
You know
I mean,
why?
They're people, too, you know? They're making all
this
money.
I get it.
And
you're a grown man. I get it. But here's the flip side of it, and this is what makes it look bad. You know, I was telling a buddy of mine earlier today. He's a diehard Patriots fan. He's born and bred Boston, all Boston teams, all day. I mean, he follows those teams kind of like how I follow the Knicks, you know, all the teams we root for. Same thing with you with the Mets. And guess what? The Patriots, bye week, practicing outside on their bye week today. On a bye week, Frank, it looks bad, man. You got the team,
I think you break your butt the whole season. They had a really good year. They're going to the playoffs. They played in, you know, they knocked Washington out, which from a Giants fan was great. You know, finally we got to do it to them instead of it always happening to the Giants. So what did they do so wrong? They went and they were back home Monday. Who cares?
I'm cool with it as long as you win. The playoff.
Well,
game.
Look,
you better win.
Let's be realistic. It's going to be a tough win. Mr. Rogers is on fire over there.
Yeah.
So,
well, they don't play deep. The whole issue with that is that's another thing. The carry on with that team is the offense hasn't been playing well.
No, not
but
at all.
You jumped in the charter plane with Bieber. You know, to go party Miami.
Well, that's my problem.
I understand you in a playoff game. You're a grown man. You have time off, and you could do that, but. The perception from the fans and the media and the beat writers and all that is, hey, man, it's not like you've been putting up 30 points a game. Like, you're just getting by. I would be cool if it was Landon Collins, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, Snacks Harrison was on that. Olivier Vernon.
If it was all the defense. I understand that. But would it be any different if they would have picked up and went to Atlantic City and came back?
They made it a big deal.
I see what you're saying. I really didn't have any problem with it. It wasn't even like they missed practice time or they were late. They missed absolutely nothing. I would have been still if they would have got in trouble if they would have pulled a plastic Burris incident when they went to a nightclub or something like that.
That's another thing about that, too. See, good point that I didn't even think about. It's that element, too. A lot of these parties, man, you gotta. It's kind of like the Floyd Mayweather aspect. Like, when he's in the midst of a big fight, they tell him, his entourage tells him, if you're going to have a party, have it in the privacy of your own home. Because you have a lot of people who are really trying to ruin you. You have people who are going to try to mess up a good thing, what you guys got going on. You're not finished with the job. I can understand if you are done with the playoffs or Pro Bowl. But knowing that that Plaxico incident was only, what? About 10 years ago, and that's fresh in Giant fans' heads too, like me. Like when the Giants were rolling 11-1, shot himself, exploded the rest of the way, and he couldn't get past the Eagles in the first round. A lot of Giant fans still remember that because of the club.
Nothing good happens after 2 o'clock in the morning. Nothing. It's always if you're out that late, always something gonna happen. I understand that, but I just from a personal standpoint, I didn't see it as bad as they made it out to be. I was more ticked off that they were Justin Bieber than anything else because I just despise them. But I had no problem that they went and did their thing, and they came home, and, you know, if they would have gotten in trouble, if they would have done something stupid, anything that would have drawn attention to it other than them just going out to a club that just happened to be in Miami, I could understand it. But I just feel that the media was all over it because they were tired of talking about the Jets. Really, in New York, there's not much going on. You know, we follow all the New York teams. The Rangers are off. The Knicks are continually to struggle. There's no baseball. The Jets were, thank God, they were done with.
Need a story. So, you need a headline.
You know, the Giants made the playoffs. That should be the story. The Giants are playing the Packers. That should be the story. No, Odell Beckham and some of the other guys went to Miami with Justin Bieber. Didn't get in trouble. Did nothing wrong. Came back home. Everything's great. They're ready for practice. Well, I don't understand what the story was. Mm-hmm. That's just my opinion. I just don't understand what the story was. I see what you're saying, but they did have a good season. They didn't score. I understand they didn't score a lot of points, and they're doing what they can do, but they were 11-5. They had a solid football season. They made the playoffs for the first time in 4 years. They've had success with Green Bay. And whether they're here or not, nothing was going to change what they do for their preparation for the week. You know, unless someone would have got hurt or whatever, granted. Me, you know, I made it with them to go. If it was the Rangers went there and then came back and played this game like they did against Buffalo, you know what I mean? But for right now, I didn't have an issue with it. Now I have one question for you, Steve, and
yes,
one
sir.
For you. Off the Rangers and off the Giants, did you happen to catch any of the Centennial Classic or the Winter Classic?
Centennial Classic? No, I did not.
Centennial Classic was, it, I don't know if everyone is aware of this, but the NHL began their 100th anniversary kickoff on Saturday. Excuse me, on Sunday. The Centennial Classic was Detroit versus Toronto in an outdoor game. You and I have spoken about Auston Matthews, and the man put on a show in front of everybody. It was a great outdoor
hockey
game. What
day was that? That was on New Year's Day.
It was on
right?
Sunday. They played that game on Sunday, and the Winter Classic on Monday.
Oh, that was Sunday. I was all over the Giant game. That was locked in
and,
for the Giant.
And oh yeah, the good thing about that is that the Giant game didn't start until later. There was a
yeah,
late
it was
game,
later.
Right? Yeah.
It was 4-0.
Yeah, so the classic was over. But you talk about a good hockey game, and we were talking about on one of our podcasts with all the other guys how Auston Matthews needs to get on television more. They don't show him enough. Well, he stood out in Toronto. It was you should try to catch the highlights because it was a great game.
They're on a nice little
better
winning
than
streak, the Maple Leafs.
It was better than the
Maple
Winter
Leafs. Maple Leafs are on a nice little winning streak.
They are. And Auston Matthews scored. You know, they blew a 4-1 lead with 0.2 of a second left. Detroit tied it up. And then Auston Matthews goes and scores his second goal in overtime. And let me, from a fan standpoint, what a great exhibition it was. It was so much better than a Winter Classic game, just because the way the games turned out. But you're going to see a lot now with the 100th anniversary. The teams are all wearing their logo patches and this and that. They're going to be doing a lot of events coming up for the season. A lot of Rangers are involved in that, especially with all the original six teams and so forth. So it should be an interesting next 12 months that it's going to be covering it.
You know, I'll be honest. Like, I saw the only really hockey I did see. I only saw maybe the Canadians play outside of the Rangers. I caught the Canadians-Penguins game. And then, you know, of course, you know, we had our games on the West. Then, you know, the Arizona game when Pumple had the hat trick. Oh, man,
that's
I wanted to talk to you about that. You saw the end of that game where Mike Smith slammed his stick. He was pissed.
And they wanted to get the puck because that was Pumple's first NHL hat trick. And the linesman didn't want to go over to get it until he calmed down. Come on. Did anyone think he was going to score with 25 seconds left on a shot like that? I mean, it was just meant to be. But
yeah, he was
pissed. You can't really – oh, he was. But you can't really not see that – like. I can't knock the Rangers much. They scored 6 power play goals in 2 games. So you knew they were going to score. They only had 1 power play opportunity tonight. So their special teams have been picking it up a little bit. But that was great when he was slamming sick and all. I mean, that was just classic.
That
was
that
old
was,
school. Yeah. I haven't seen it in a while.
It's and nice to see nice to see, like, when you watch the games on the road or going on the road, a lot of the Ranger fans in Arizona. Like, wow.
Oh, yeah, they were chanting Zook every time he touched the puck, yeah.
They sure did.
It was siblings week, too, so a lot of the Rangers had brothers and sisters and cousins that were able to travel with them.
Yeah, I saw that interview.
Games.
I saw that interview.
Yeah, they did a really good job with that.
They included
them in the pregame meeting. They were in the locker room before the game. It's a very AV's done it every year. Well, he did Father's Weekend, he did Mother's Weekend, and now we did siblings.
I saw the interview with Zibanejad and his brother in between periods. But man, speaking of him, now his status, what is it? I know he's skating or something like that, or
he's just skating. I would think he's 2 weeks out. They said he's right on schedule.
Yeah, he's been out for longer than 6 to 8 weeks, like they said he was going to be. It was longer than that. Maybe it isn't.
I think I forgot the date that he got hurt. He just took the cast off maybe a week and a half ago, and they're going really slow with it. Because, burying the bone in the leg and so forth. Yeah, they're definitely taking their time with it. So he should be coming back soon, but, it's going to be like starting all over a preseason. When you miss that much hockey, he's not going to come back on the ice. They don't send these guys down to the minors and play in a couple extra, minor league games. They're going to keep him up, and when he's ready to go, he's going to be ready to go, and then they'll just limit his ice time a little bit. So the big thing is Buchanov. This whole thing with his core strength in his back and all turned out to be a slipped disc in his back that he got. I don't know why the Rangers didn't want to release it. He said he's not even skating hard yet. Someone actually explained to me why they didn't send him down or put him on IR and bring somebody up. He's been holding a roster spot for 3 months. And he's only a rookie who hasn't really proven himself. And I'm sure he's a great hockey player, but he hasn't done anything in the National Hockey League. Why are you holding a roster spot for 3 months for this guy? It doesn't make any sense why they didn't put him on long-term IR until he was ready. Unless the Rangers didn't know the severity of the injury to begin with. That they're not really releasing. But he was on the ice the other day, but he's still wearing a red shirt. They said he's not even working out hard yet.
Mm-hmm. I hear that. Let me see. Somebody, I think somebody wants to talk. I think we got a call from Florida. Let's see if you wanted to talk Rangers. Let's see. Call from Florida. You're out there.
Hey, how you doing? This is Joe, good friend of Frank's. How you guys doing tonight?
Hey, Joe, man. What's up, dude? How's everything?
Good, good. Hey, just a quick question, Rangers related. Just wondering, you guys were starting to touch on it. What three forwards do you think we'll see go away from the lineup when we get Zibanejad, Buchnevich, and Nash back in the lineup?
Mr. Ranger Proud.
I don't think you're going to see Pumple. I don't think you're going to see, believe it or not, Peary. I don't know who the other one would be.
I think it's got to be Oscar Lindberg, personally.
It might be.
And let's not forget Rivik either.
What about Rivik? Is that another guy in there?
That might be the other one more than Lindberg. Yeah, I could see Rivik before Lindberg going down. He had a really quiet game tonight, Rivik. I didn't even remember his name being said tonight.
He was chilling. Yeah, he was watching the game with you, Mr. Ranger Price. He's with you.
It might be those three guys.
You don't think Lindbergh, though, with 24 games this year, no goals, 4 assists? I know he's doing the little things, but we talk about it so much. This is a game nowadays where you need 4 lines that can score, and Lindbergh, 24 games this year, no goals.
He wasn't a goal scorer when he came up last year. He had a few early. But, you could say the same thing. A guy like Stass isn't scoring a lot of goals either, but does a lot. The third and fourth lines are going to be those kind of players. So it depends, do you want someone that can skate fast, can get the fuck out of our end, and stick with their top lines, or are you more worried about who's going to put the puck in the net? I would rather have Lindbergh in the lineup than Rivik.
I agree with that.
A personal opinion. You know what I'm saying?
But I'd rather have Pyrian than I'd agree with that, but also say I'd rather have Pyrian over Lindbergh.
Over Lindbergh. When Pyrian's not on the power play, when he's playing better on the power play, yeah. But you want to know something, guys? I got the funniest feeling that Buchanov isn't going to see anything at all. If Buchanov doesn't come back to the end of February, well, what's even the point? He's going to miss 5 months of hockey. You're going to throw him in and put him on the second line? He's going to be so far behind. Here he came from the minors. He comes to the NHL. He barely plays anything. He gets hurt. And now they're sitting on him for all this time. It made absolutely no sense. They either should have made a move to replace him. They should have put him on IR and put someone and keep bringing guys up from the minors and see what they have. I don't think he's going to be the guy that's going to make a difference one way or another this year. I think the big thing is, get Zibanejad back in the lineup, get Nash back in the lineup, and then, your best six guys on the bottom of that's who's going to make the team. I'm more concerned with Clendenning.
I got a question for both. Well, that's actually two questions, but first question about Grabman, because Frank had mentioned it about his scoring. I don't think he's comfortable. As good as Kevin Hayes has played, and I wanted to spotlight him tonight as far as his play this year, he's been more effective the more deeper we were and more healthy we were, and, of course, Nash not being in the lineup. How could we get him going with all these bodies out? Could we get that same production like he's on that fourth line?
I was immediately annoyed tonight when I saw the line. I think he was with was it Hayes and Veazey he was skating with this evening?
Yeah, he was with
that,
two guys. Yep.
That immediately pissed me off before the puck even dropped. I just don't like him skating with those guys. He's still getting the chances, though, getting the puck in deep on a few breakaways, but I just don't think he meshes well with those type of players. I like him on the bottom lines for whatever reason. You know, the guy has a hard start, and then you just want to give him more minutes. With ice time and going against guys he shouldn't be going against, maybe just competing against those other third, fourth line guys, he just flourishes more for whatever reason.
And I think with the Grabna situation, you got to remember that it was great that he scored all those goals early in the season. But when the Rangers picked up Grabna, his main focus was penalty killing. He was going to be that third or fourth line player that killed penalties and he'll improve on that end of the special teams. And what happened was with the injuries and with his hot hands, he became more than what I think he's supposed to be on the team. And now I think it's kind of catching up with him. Now he's getting scoring opportunities, and he seems not to be scoring as much. But when he's on the penalty kill, he's still so effective. And when he's out there on the fourth line, he has so much speed that the other teams still have to respect him because he can't get that opportunity to score. So the way Grabner's playing now is how I sort of thought he was going to be playing. He's very productive. He's very effective out there. So I don't see him as much as, he's definitely going to stay in the lineup. He's definitely going to be helping the team out on all ends of the ice. Because there's still over 45 games to go in the season. You're probably going to have some more injuries somewhere. So the depth of the team is still going to have to be, not so much tested, but the depth is going to be used. They're going to need to keep finding these guys. They're going to need to keep stepping up as much as they are to keep the team winning. Hayes, they seem to find good spots in him, like Joe was saying. And then AV moves him to a spot where it doesn't work as well, and then he says he played bad. Don't set him up for failure. You know where his good parts are. Keep them there and keep them playing. I mean, last month he had about a point on a power play. That's a total waste. That is not what his function is. If you're going to put a forward on the defense, on a point, it's going to be Stefan because he's the only one that really does it. So, then he's out there. They have 2-on-1s. They score goals. And then what does everybody say, Steve? Oh, hey, he's played bad today. Well, you're setting him up to play bad. The coach has to be able to put your plays in certain spots to make the team shine. And up until this point, AB has done that. You know, we've had a lot of lineup changes and a lot of injuries to deal with and so forth. So you can see what's going on. I don't think he's panicked as much as he did. I don't want to say he panicked last year. He changed his lines way too often last year. If things didn't work out in the middle of the second period, he'd change his lines up. There was no time to get chemistry. This year, he seems to be a lot more patient with it. And that's a great thing for all the players. You have to be able to know that you can make a mistake and go back on the ice the next shift. And with the way he was changing lines last year, you know, everybody was in a doghouse.
Well, let me ask you guys.
What Frank was starting to say, I'm sorry, I was just going to say what Frank was saying about the power play, I think that's really going to be solidified, not necessarily from the point, like he was talking about Stefan playing from the point, but lineups are more solidified in the power play, I think, when Zibanejad comes back, especially. I think he's been gone for so long. And a lot of us saw so little of him in the blue uniform, we forget what great of a shot he had from the face-off circle. You know what I mean? We got such a small sample of him, I think a lot of us forget what a great shot he has. It's not going to solve the point like you were talking about, but it is going to solidify
the right hand
more
shot
in the power play.
So we've been talking about that before. They need his right. And look, Nash and Zibanejad, two guys that are on the power play that aren't there now. Both those guys are leaders on the ice scoring-wise. They're not there now. So as much as the Rangers are winning, you don't want to say they're hanging on. But when they come back and get back to where their potential is, and you hope they can this season, once they get going again, the Rangers are going to start putting more pucks into the net and going to start playing some more high-scoring hockey games. It's hard to replace some of these guys. It doesn't matter. There's a reason why you're a fourth-line player or a third-line player. I'm not knocking it. But from a point, you know what I mean, from an offensive standpoint, you can see why Lindbergh is a fourth-line player. And you could see why Zibanejad is going to be a top three, top four forwards. There's such a drastic difference. So when those guys are missing from the lineup, you're asking other guys to do things that they normally can't do. So until you can get this injury bug out, and hopefully they can You know, this is the second time Nash has been hurt. It's the second time Pummel's been hurt. Buchanov can't seem to get back into the lineup. These are things that you got to start hoping that it sort of stops. And it's always a problem in the season. It's what every team goes through. And your depth is what wins hockey games. And right now, that's what the Rangers have been. They've been pretty much able to do. I mean, having a fairly good season. You can't really complain about what they put out there on the ice. And how often have they played with their whole lineup together? Not many games. You know, so it's something to look forward to, especially if we're going to be hurt, you'd much rather be hurt the way they have been in the first half of the season.
Correct.
Hopefully when the playoffs roll around and everybody's in that lineup, and then you see what you have. You know, it might be a little bit after the trade deadline, you're going to have to just roll with that. But you're hoping the Rangers get that whole team together right at the right moment when they can really start putting wins together. You know they can do it. Can they do it on a consistent level? Can they get those 16 wins in the in the playoffs? That's what they're shooting for. Personally, me, I don't care if they come in first place, eighth place, because we've won and lost being the number one team and the eighth seeded team. So it may sound weird. To me, just make the playoffs. Get in there, get healthy, and take it from there. And see if you'll see a lot of things getting better when Nash is in Dinojad's back there and the faceoff percentage is getting better.
Oh, yeah.
And defensively, get better. It's going to be it's going to turn around so much better. It's not just two guys are out. It's two of the top guys in the league that are out right now. I mean, these two guys can put up a lot of points when they're playing to that potential. And it's been a long time, like I said. Zibanejad's been out, what, 8 weeks now, 7 weeks? You almost forget
he's
been
out.
He played so well, right? He played so well in the preseason. We were talking. We couldn't wait till he started the regular season. And then he barely got going. He got, a real tough injury he got. So you're just going to have to just wait it out. Hope these guys can keep stepping up because they have been stepping up. And we'll just see where it lies. Defensively, that's going to be the whole game. Those guys
See, that's my second question to you guys. Because of the domino effect of how things go. Let's say the Rangers were flat tonight. We discussed that earlier, Ranger Proud, where if you're not going to win the one-on-one matchups and you get out of place, we're so used to over the years or even the decade where Lundqvist making these spectacular second chance saves from the opposition. So he's not making them like he used to. I mean, he's older. It is what it is. So adjustment wise defensively, that's where you made your point about the defense. Like, are we gonna finally make some adjustments defensively outside of personnel changes if we're not gonna play the speed game, if we're gonna come out flat, are we gonna make that in game adjustments to play more defensive minded hockey so these other teams don't get these rebound attempts like you saw tonight? You think maybe he's gonna do that?
I don't think playing defensive monitor is going to stop those in-close plays like you're saying, because that just means the forwards are out of position if they're going to be coming down low to clear the front of the net. I think the other, the centers are going to have to be a little more sharper on those plays, but the defensemen have to do their job, or then they got to get rid of them.
Go ahead, Frank.
No, go ahead, Joe. I know you're going to say we were talking about this a lot.
It was something I was thinking to myself, and you guys were on earlier talking about the possibility of breaking up the Shea-Klein line. I don't see the point in that, because then with them being the third line, you got to give one of them more ice time, and with Shea's inconsistency and Klein forgetting how to lace up his own skates, seemingly, who do you give more playing time to, and then who do you take playing time away to? You obviously can't take it away from Holden right now. Do you take away from Staal, who's not fully back to 2011 Staal, but better? You definitely don't take away from the captain, and Girardi has been better, still not the best. So who do you take it away from? You could shuffle the top two lines, I think, but I don't think you could touch that shit. Yeah, it's just something you guys referenced probably a half hour ago, but something I wanted to mention.
Yeah, we had
said that too.
Yeah, we had said that earlier too. Because if you do break up Klein and Shea, in essence, you're ruining two pair of defensemen.
Yeah,
right.
Two other guys are getting screwed up. So if that isn't your answer, then you have to make a trade or you have to try Clendenin. Because I personally don't think that the Klein combo is going to get any better. Klein just keeps looking slower and slower. And Shea seems to be making a little bit more mistakes than he was earlier. And that's also a combination of Klein not playing well. The teams are really dumping and chasing hard when those two are out on the ice. You know, in this age, everyone's got video replay and digital and they're watching it on their iPad. And they know who the I don't want to say the weak links, but out of those six
they do, Frank. They know who the weak links are, man.
The
they
two,
do.
The, normally you can split it up. Normally you would split it up, and you wouldn't have the two weakest wing defensemen together. Because you got to remember, now when you have Shea and Klein out there, and you put your fourth line out there, you're looking, the puck is in our end a lot. And it's not a knock on the forwards, but if the defenseman can't get the puck up to the forwards to get the puck out of the zone, you're either icing it or you're defending. So I don't know what the right answer is going to be. You know, if Girardi was struggling a little bit more, you might put him with Shea, and maybe that would spark him, whatever. But right now they're all playing so well that the top four, you're kind of in a bad spot right now. But they're going to have to improve it because you can't go with four defensemen. And when these two guys right now, if you look over the last month, have really been struggling out there. And I think AV hasn't changed it up for the same reasons we've said. You change it up one way and you blow two pairs. You just mess up four guys now. So he's leaving it because it just shows you how much he doesn't like Clendenning once again. Because that guy just is not going to get in the lineup. And obviously, they have nobody from the minors to pull up. So this is what we're stuck with, which, Steve, goes back to what we said. They never replaced the Engel.
Defensively, yeah.
Yeah, you know, defensively, they never got another defenseman that was even close to his skating skill than what he was. And even Engel wasn't great as a Ranger. Towards the end of last year and so forth, he was really where you wanted to see him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, this year he is struggling in Florida, but that just might be location. The whole Florida team is struggling. You know, Boyle wasn't such a hard person to replace because at the end of his career, he was on the end of his career, but you knew it. But this is unfortunately something that's been discussed a lot, and I don't really know what the answer is going to be. Where do you go from here with the defensemen? They have their depth on their forward.
I don't think they could blame the team at the time what happened with Yandel, because the last moments of him wanting all that money and the way it played out in that Pittsburgh game, and he had those costly turnovers versus the Penguins, and we got blown out. I think management, the fans were – they liked him when they were frustrated, and I think he wanted his money. He wanted his payday.
Yeah.
We're cash.
You have no trouble with the way that rolled out, but game planning and looking towards this season, they didn't have a plan. If you're going to lose Yandel, you needed to have an idea. All along, we said going with these six guys was going to hurt. Somewhere, you were going to really feel it because they weren't that solid last year. Now, you know, they picked up Holden and Clendenning, and they started to play really well in the beginning, but now it's, you know, it looks like the end of this is they're starting to really feel it. And I don't see how you can improve this. You don't have the depth on the blue line that you have on the forward spots. So they're going to have to figure out what they want to do, or they may have to break up. You know, they may have to put Stahl with Shea a little bit, or put Stahl with Klein a little bit. Not every game. Maybe he has to start mixing up his defense a little bit more, and depending on who you're playing, you keep Shea and Klein together. But then again, you would have thought you could have done that tonight with Buffalo, right, guys? And then it didn't work out.
Yeah.
So,
who are you going to pick on?
Right. I mean, like tomorrow night, what would you do with your defense? Philadelphia's a big, hard team. They're going to fight. Claude Giroux isn't scoring a lot of goals. Simmons is scoring a ton of goals. But once again, those guys will run over Shea and Klein if they play like that tonight or tomorrow night. So you're into another tough spot. You know, that's why AV's getting paid the money of the coach, because he's going to have to figure it out. You have to figure it out pretty quick, too, because, you know, once they come back from that bye week, you're back to all the back-to-back games, and you're playing every other night, and there is no stoppage. Except for the little break on the All-Star game, it's going to be full tilt right until April. So I don't know where he's going to go or what him and Gordon are thinking, but defense, I keep saying it, I've said it so much, I'm tired of hearing myself say it, but the defense really needs to change something. It's going to start costing them. It did tonight. You know, like you said, Steve, if Klein has a better game tonight, maybe two of those goals are in the net. It's a different game. Right? It's a different game. You can't be getting beat to the outside. Absolutely. It's like the man can't turn to his right all of a sudden. They just blow right down the boards. I don't understand it. You know, you always see him stretching you. You're talking about holding penalties. He's always clutching and grabbing. If you're a referee, you're looking for it before the game starts. That's just what they're doing. And Shea always seems to be one step out of position. I don't know if he's trying to compensate because Klein keeps getting beat. Like tonight, he looked a little lost. So they
well, that's always that's a concern you always have about those college guys, though. They play. They talked about it so
right.
much. It's easy coming up, too. He's not used to playing this long season. Is that fatigue
yeah.
getting to him, even though he's 22? Could the fatigue
yeah,
be
no,
the issue?
He's got some tough injuries. He's battling with that stupid face mask he's got to wear because he's got all those stitches in his mouth or on the side of his face when he got hit. And, you know, it's a lot of hockey, and they're hitting him hard. If you notice, the last three or four games, Shea's been really getting beat up. The players, the bigger guys are gunning for him. You know, hockey players are smarter now. They know who's a rookie, who's new, who's from college, and they are burying that Klein Shea line. They really are dumping and chasing and hitting him hard, and it shows. And, you know, the result of that is you can't get the puck out. They're getting more shots than they should be. You're running around. Before you know it, bang, bang, it's in the net. So there is no answer tonight for them. You just hope tomorrow that Shea and Klein come back. The funny thing about it is when the season started, AV said he didn't want Girardi to play in back-to-back games. He wanted to sit him on the second half of the back-to-back games. But he can't do that now because he doesn't like Klein betting. So never mind does Girardi stay on back-to-back games, which you don't want. But now Klein, who should really be sitting a game or two because if he was tired tonight, guys, he's going to look horrible tomorrow night. Now Klein's in the lineup, too, so there is no answer. So what are you going to have two five defensemen out there now?
Got to cut you off. How are the Rangers this year on back-to-back? I got to look into that stuff. You think we've had a good record in back-to-back games this year? Coming off
you know, they I still that somewhere. I know. I think
only back.
I don't know right
they off. Have been, well, they have been more, they've only lost two in a row once all season. So they have to
okay.
be at least half and half on the back-to-back games. Because they've only lost
yeah. the only back-to-back I can remember is when Ronta played them both. That's the only back-to-back I remember is when Ronta played both. And
well, when they won both of them, right.
Yeah,
but
they won
the
both.
That's even with a split, the Rangers haven't lost. I think they've only lost two in a row once this season, or maybe twice. So I would say they're not doing bad on the back-to-backs. I gather tomorrow you're going to put Ronta in that, the way that Lundqvist played tonight. But then sometimes
yeah, yeah, yeah.
AV keeps playing. But then again, AV's been playing Hendrick until he wins. So you don't know what AV's thinking either.
Mm-hmm.
You never you know what I'm saying?
Tonight, how about Lundqvist's frustration? That was the point I wanted to get to. If you guys, especially after the Eichel power play goal, he's as professional as it gets as far as a New York athlete. But even this season's got to be a little bit frustrated for his standards. What do you think those conversations is like with the other players, with the coaches behind the scenes, away from the cameras and the beat writers and the media? Like, no, for real. Like, he looked frustrated after that last goal or the goal that put him up three for Buffalo up three. What do you think Lundqvist is? You know, after all the work, all the years, and all the stuff, you know, he's gone through. He's getting, you know, he gets it from some of the fans. What do you think he's actually thinking or saying to some of the defensemen or even the forwards? Like you said, you got to, you know, you got to do something, man. You got to win some of these battles, man. You got to help a guy out.
That's exactly what he's saying. Did you see his face when Kane scored the first goal when Holden was on the line changed late?
Of course, I did.
It was the look of death when he looked up at Holden. He just wanted to kill him. You could tell. I'm sure he's frustrated. He's like every other fan, you know, still saying the same thing. Well, why is things unfolding the way they are? I'm sure he has other words for it. And then again, you know, he might be the kind of hockey player that doesn't really bash him. He just might be saying, you guys, you got to cover your checks more. You got to back check. You know, the same, I don't see Lundqvist there chewing guys out as much as just, if everybody knows what stakes are, then let's get it together and do it. Then again, he might be cursing him out in Swedish. Who knows? He's, it's a tough thing. What do you think, Joe?
I think he's got to be placing some of the blame on himself, even though he's getting, you know, beat. I mean, how many times this year are we going to see a guy score his first career goal on Lundqvist? You know what I mean? And it's not like all the goals that are going in plus beauties, you know what I mean? And I hate to say it, but my man's getting paid $8.5 million a year. I don't want to see somebody scoring a five-hole goal for their first NHL career goal after playing 89 career games against them, you know what I mean? There's got to be some blame on yourself at some point. Not expecting him to make every save, but let's go back to 2012, 2013, years before that, every night we're talking about Lundqvist stealing the game. And so I can't think of a single game this year. I mean, I missed a few. Frank knows I can't think of a single game this year, though, where he's stolen the game. You know what I mean?
No.
I think he's as equal to blame as every defenseman that we've talked about this evening.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be making that big, big first save. I was just saying earlier, he gives up so many early goals this season, which is something you're not used to. But then again, when he stood on his head for the last 11 years, our expectations are a lot higher than they probably should be for a goaltender. And
let's say he makes a big save tonight. A big save tonight is as big of a momentum as you could have in a hockey game these years, you know? I mean, he makes one big flying across the crease save, and we get the puck out of the zone, go down on a 2-on-1, and who knows what happens from there. Maybe it's a whole different hockey game if he makes a big save on maybe just on that Jack Eichel power play goal that you just talked about.
Yeah, that's why I think he has to go with Ronta tomorrow. I mean, but you want to know something? I tell you what.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to stir up the whole goalie controversy of the game if he goes with Ronta tomorrow. And there's nothing that you can do about it because you have to go with who you think gives you the best opportunity to win. I mean, I understand that. But from the media standpoint and the crazy fans, and right now it's amazing here. You either have I love Lundqvist or I hate Lundqvist. There is no middle. People are really on him that he doesn't want a cup. And it's amazing how they could be on one goalie, guys, who hasn't won a cup when the only goalie in the last 60 years to win a cup is Mike Richter. Every other guy that's wearing Ranger jersey and net has not won a Stanley Cup. All the way back to 1940, other than Mike Richter, that one year. So I don't understand this whole philosophy of Lundqvist needs to win a cup to say he was ever any good. I just don't understand it. He's been a great goalie for the Rangers. He plays well. Is he slumping right now? Dramatically. He's just not the guy that normally is now. Maybe it's age. Maybe it's his frustration. I mean, I really don't know what it is. It also doesn't help that Ranta's got, 11 wins? Would be 10-1? 10 wins in 11 games. No one anticipated that come January. And, you know, so right now, you got to play the hot hand. But, you know, now if Ranta wins tomorrow, let me ask you guys something. Ranta beats Philly tomorrow, and you go to Columbus with a 17-game winning streak, who do you put in goal? It's going to stir the whole pot right up again. And I think AB's trying not to get the pot stirred up. But my opinion, if you put Ranta in tomorrow and he wins the way Lundqvist played today. Now, he played great. He played in the Avalanche game, right? Yes. But it was Colorado. You heard it in my voice, right? Every team is good in the National Hockey League. Have you seen how bad Colorado plays hockey? They have no defense. The Rangers
lowest scoring team in the league. They mentioned it today during the broadcast and national broadcast. I don't know if you guys are watching on MSG or national broadcast, but
another one, MSG.
I was watching tonight on both. Lowest-scoring Colorado was.
Right, so now what do you do tomorrow night? You put Ranta in, you beat Philadelphia. You're going to go up against Columbus. And mind you, you're not going to play for five more nights after that. So now do you sit Lundqvist for almost 2 weeks if you don't play him? He's in a no-win spot, AJ. If I'm the head coach, you got to be pulling your hair out because you can't win now. Any decision you make is wrong. Even if Ranta wins both games, how can you let Lundqvist sit for 2 weeks and not play him? My theory is you play the best. I'm the old school guy. You guys are younger than me. I'm the theory. You play goalie until he loses. Until the playoffs.
I agree. I don't think you can.
I don't think you can alternate goalies in playoffs. It never works. But you can
Hold on, Frank. But so that your tone's changed because when we were discussing in the preseason, you said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ranta was there for the spot starts. You know, here,
correct.
There. It's changed. He was there before.
It's
so
changed dramatically.
Changed.
You know why it changed? Because he's got 10 wins on the season.
All right, fair enough.
How do you see, normally when you have a spot goalie, he doesn't play those 2, 3, 4 games in a row.
It just doesn't happen.
But now, because of that little streak that he had when he played the hot goalie until he lost.
Correct.
So now if you put Ranta in, is it that bad if he plays 3 in a row and you get 3 wins? And then you put Lundqvist in and he wins 4 in a row? Or he goes 3-1 or something? I think sometimes you have to take advantage. Like we're saying all along, you have to play the hand that you dealt. They're very lucky with the goaltending situation. And all the weight isn't on Lundqvist this year. It doesn't need to be on Lundqvist this year. You want to see him win, but you want to see the team win. And AB said it the other day. He goes, I love Lundqvist, but I love the team more. So he has the right attitude. The problem is he's got, you know, 50 media people every single day saying, why isn't Hank winning? Why is Hank not playing well? What, I mean, you know, there's only so much that he's going to be able to. He can't answer all of those questions. Right now, Lundqvist just doesn't look comfortable in the net. I don't know why. He looked fine in the World Cup earlier in the year. He played well in the beginning of the season when they were really on fire. And now all of a sudden, he just seems to be distracted when he's on the ice. Like Joe said, he's not making that big save early in the game. And even Henrik admitted he wasn't making a big save early in the game. He doesn't recall the last time he gave up so many first-period goals. I mean, it's true. So at this point, you know, you're halfway into the season. You got to decide what's more important, a happy Lundqvist or a winning hockey team.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%, Frank.
No argument for me, Frank. No argument for me.
I agree.
You got to coach to win, not to have the easier post-game interview,
you know? Coach to win, not for the easier post-game interview.
Absolutely. And, you know, he's not going to be happy. If he sits Hank the next two games, you know, he's not going to be happy with him. And the other thing is, how can you let, you know, Ranta has to play one of these next two games, too. Because you can't let him sit for two.
I'd rather see him in the Columbus game, honestly, if I had to pick.
I think he's going to play Ranta tomorrow. Because, see, he can justify putting Ranta in tomorrow, saying, I'm splitting the back-to-back games.
Yeah, I got you.
And it takes all the pressure off everybody.
Correct.
Ranta has no pressure on him. But it takes all the weight and all the questions and everything off AV and Henrik. And then it also gives him, what's tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday and some of Saturday. It gives him 2.5 days to really decide if he wants to start Ranta or if he wants to start Lundqvist on Saturday. This thing, though, guys, about, well, he gets some more practice time with Benoit Allaire. How much practice time does a guy like Lundqvist need? Is he really changing anything? I mean, he's playing 11 years in the NHL plus all his minor league hockey. He's won 300 games, 400 games. He's been to the Stanley Cup Finals. Benoit Allaire can help him with some little aspects of it, but his overall style of hockey isn't being challenged in practice. It's not being changed. So I think that sometimes is an excuse, too. You gotta have to start going with the hot goalie here once January ends. You'll be playing a lot of games back to back. It's really easy to do. You know, you're playing every other night. He's not gonna play Lundqvist every other night anyway. So the schedule is gonna favor AV's decisions. Or, you know, it'll mask what he really wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere, someone's gonna have to figure out what's wrong with Lundqvist. Well, maybe he's just getting older. Maybe he can't make that dive across the crease as frequent as he was.
Father time, man. You know, getting a little older, man.
Father time, you'll be making another $8.5 million for 3 more years.
Well, I know that part too.
And he's got to be protected. And he's got to be protected at the expansion draft. So you're not trading him. You're not losing him. Not that we want to, but there's no outs.
Correct.
A lot of money
to
put on a guy that all of a sudden got slow. We're talking about Klein getting slow.
Canada didn't make anything easier tonight when it came to that, I'm not sure. Let me say this real quick, the player spotlight. If you just guys have a couple of sentences before we get off. Kevin Hayes, midseason progress, you know, he's actually doing pretty well. He got his 28 points, and he's definitely on the good side of plus minus. He was actually at one point in the league, top 15 at that, with his plus minus. But let me tell you, give us some thoughts, Joe and Frank, as far as how you thought of Kevin Hayes this season up until this point.
Go ahead, Joe.
Frank probably knows the thing that annoyed me most in the past about Hayes in the past two seasons. The guy would seem to try, and he hasn't really came out of it fully this year, but he would try to play like he's 5'9", doing these spin or ram is this and that, and the guy's 6'5", the biggest guy in the ice 99% of the time, not using that frame. Again, he's still not really doing it, but he's breaking away from those spinorama, because every time he did a spinorama, he'd lose the puck. The guy couldn't do it. He thought he could, but no way he could. You know what I mean? So, to me, earlier, I've been saying it all year, he's been the guy that I've been most improved, most surprised by this year, most happy with his quality of play, just given his improvement on the year. But still, a guy I want to see use his frame more. I mean, I'm happy with him doing well in the faceoff circuit. He does it there to get in the tie-up. But not a guy going to the net. I want to see him doing the same thing Chris Kreider is doing on the power play, getting in front of the net. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
certainly an improvement from last year, but still, it just frustrates me to watch this guy. I don't know what his exact size is. 6'4", 6'5", he looks like. Biggest guy in the ice most of the time and not using that frame like I'd like to see him.
Yeah, I like the way Hayes has played. I like his style, but to me, the most improved player this year, especially compared to last season, it's got to be Ryan McDonagh. He definitely turned his game around. He's got all those assists. He looks great on the power play. He's skating really well. He's playing really solid defense. He actually looks like the player he was before they put the C on his chest. And if you looked at him last year, he looked lost. He was out of position. He was taking stupid chances. And it's great just to see that you got that guy on the blue line that you can really rely on. He's getting a lot of ice time right now. He's definitely the go-to man on the blue line, which is what he was always supposed to be. He's fast. He's agile. He can catch up. He doesn't get caught out of position nearly as much as he was the last year, maybe the last 2 years. So, I mean, out of all the players that are going, I really think at the halfway mark, he to me, is the most improved. And I got to throw our guy in, Steve Vesey. He's been playing phenomenal for a rookie out of college. He's right there with me, even though we can't compare him to last year. But from a go-to guy standpoint, I don't think you could ask anything more from a kid coming out of college. He is a solid, solid hockey player. I knew nothing about him when the season started, but you can see why so many teams wanted him.
Remember, Frank, we were just
right?
sitting on that show. It was like, oh, man, he's going to, like, all these teams, and we're just like, whatever.
Yeah.
And I think it happened the very next day. The very next day, the Rangers.
Rangers?
You know,
who is this kid? Why would he tell me? But I tell you something. He plays all three ends, all three zones really well. He seems comfortable with anybody he plays with. He's been with Natch. He's been with Crotter. You know, they've moved him around a lot. He never seems out of place. He's really good without the puck. And he had his first NHL fight the other day. So he's come a long way. There's a long way to go. But he doesn't give you the impression that he's going to get tired. He's going to get caught up in all the games and so forth. He seemed like he came really prepared to play.
Yeah. There it is, those players. Let's get some final thoughts. Joe, if you want to go first on this game tonight, Rangers' progress this season and how we're looking forward for the next couple of games, Philly, Columbus, your final thoughts on tonight's game in the Rangers season.
Oof. So I got to keep it clean, eh? I'm kidding.
No, really?
Whoa,
no,
all right.
No.
Say how you feel, man.
It was just a frustrating night watching us struggle. I mean, you see we're playing Buffalo, you get happy, then you're seeing we're playing Buffalo's backup. You get even more happy. And then we played 55 minutes of the 60-minute game in our own zone, it seemed, trying to protect our couldn't get the puck out of the zone, you know what I mean? Looking forward to tomorrow, of course. You know, it's always fun to watch the Philly game. Always an extra excitement coming along with that. What I'm looking forward to most along the year is to see, because I really think Zibanejad is the type of player that could push us to the next level. I wrote for Frank a while back, and Frank, I don't know if you remember this article, but one of the first articles I wrote for you talked about how important I thought faceoffs were, and this was 2 years ago, and at the time, if I knew I was going to be referencing it this evening, I'd have brought it up, but I can't remember the exact stats, but if I'm correct, the previous 9 seasons at that point, the eventual cup winner had a faceoff guy in the top 10, you know what I mean? And at the time, the Rangers hadn't had anybody Steph on the highest, who was in like the top 25. You know what I mean? Just speaking of the importance of faceoffs, and I think you guys were touching on it a little bit earlier with, you guys were talking about how everybody but a Postco had above 50 for Buffalo tonight. And it's an area we really haven't, as good as Stefan's been, being our number one center for how many years now. It's something he never improved on, something we're seeing improvement now on from Hayes. Broussard never was that reliable guy that could get above 50. But I think it's something Zibanejad could really bring to the table. I mean, he's proven he could bring it to the table. And I think he'd be our number one guy for the faceoffs in the important games down the stretch of the season, which, you know, it's not a stat that's talked about a lot. But like I said, at the time, I'll have the article with me for the next show if you guys want to bring it back up. But at the time, it was like the last previous 10 Stanley Cup winners had somebody in the top 10, and the Rangers weren't anywhere near. And, of course, those were all years they were competing, not far out. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm looking forward to, is Zibanejad. I could And, of course, like we talked about earlier, his shot in the power play is going to do us wonders as well.
All right, Joe, thank you very much. And, absolutely, we'll definitely like to get that that research information and bring it to the table. We could discuss that. I'd like to have that nice dialogue on get it digging into the Rangers power play information, man. Appreciate that. Appreciate your thoughts and your opinions, man.
Hey, no problem. Always and like I said, Frank actually, he was the first article Frank edited for me back in like 2013. But just heard about your show today from Frank. I'll subscribe on iTunes already and look forward to hearing from more of you guys in the future.
Don't just subscribe. Talk with us. Feel our
power. Joe. That was a good guy. Joe helps out with Ranger Proud. Joe helps out with Ranger Proud once in a while. He's a busy man, Steve, so we're happy we can get him once in a while. He's got a good job going, so if we can get him in here and help us out a little bit, we do.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, every Tuesday night here on the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud, man, talking Rangers, game or not. So
we'll have that article with me next Tuesday.
A weekly fix.
I'll have that article with me next Tuesday and talk more about the importance of faceoffs. A little, I don't want to say off topic for any reason, but late reference, but be some good information I think we could all discuss.
Yes. Yeah. I remember, Frank, we were talking about that earlier this year before Zibanejad got hurt and how dominating we were with the faceoff. And we were putting up all those goals and the goal differential and controlling the pace. And we were really I don't want to say I'm at panic mode with this team because I already understand the injuries and the quality of the guys that are hurt. But when we are at full strength, we had a taste of that. And wait till we start peaking, we get those bodies back. So we just got to weather the storm. And that was something we kind of anticipated, you could say.
Without a doubt. But, you know, they're going to have to, you know, there's a lot of little areas and all. Faceoffs are always an important thing. And lately they just have been struggling again. They were up, they were down, they're winning here and there, but nothing consistent. And it's you know, something they're just going to have to figure out, you know. But Derek Stefan's going to have to just better than 29% on a night. Otherwise, you could have everybody take a faceoff and win 29% of the
Jack body. Eichel had his lunch today on a faceoff.
Jack Eichel was one of those guys, you know. He was hurt. He came on the ice. He came back like he was never missing a beat. You know, there's a couple of those guys out there that we've spoken about that are leading the next generation of hockey players. There's a lot of them right now. And that guy has our number, you know.
Thus far, yeah. Especially the way he played in that home game in Buffalo, the other game.
Oh, that was his first game back. That was his first game back. And it was like he was never missed a shift. It was amazing. So,
any final thoughts, Ranger
so high in the draft.
Any final thoughts, Ranger Proud?
No. You know, looking forward to tomorrow night's game. They got to win these two games coming up, Philly and Columbus. It's really going to be a battle. It's going to show how far our depth can really take it now. And just got to weather the storm a little bit more. They're going to start to get guys back, and then you just hope they really put it together. You know, it's really going to suck, guys, if Zibanejad and Nash comes back, and they're still on scoring 2 goals or 3 goals a game, and they're struggling on defense. But from the other side of it, whoever they bring back isn't going to change the defense and the goal coming. They're going to have to start getting themselves a little bit tighter on defense. And maybe you're right, Steve. Maybe the forwards have to start coming back. Maybe they have to change their concept a little bit, even though we enjoy the offensive explosion that they've had for most of the season. The playoff hockey's won on defense first, so somewhere along the line they're going to have to make a decision or change a game plan and go with it. And until then, we're just going to just ride it out, go into Philly tomorrow and get 2 points.
Ranger Proud on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, ranger.proud. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. My final thoughts real quick. Rest in peace, former head coach, New York Rangers, Ron Smith. I just wanted to shout that out. To the Rangers Nation, Rangers Town. Rangers, you know, this episode, the Rink Podcast, this post game is going to be on iTunes for your Apple devices. Podcast Republic, if you got Android or your TuneIn apps for both, and of course YouTube and Stitcher, and of course the podcast tab on bleedblueshow.com, the podcast tab. Shout outs to Joe for joining us, Ranger Proud, myself. Rangers lose to the Sabres. We'll be back every Tuesday, so we'll see what it is. The Rangers bounce back, so if we haven't had too many losses this year on the post games of Ranger Prowl. It is one of those, it's uncharted territory. The Islander game was a little rough, though. That Islander game was a little rough.
We don't want to talk about that one.
we don't want to get back into that, man. All right, Sangre Azul. Bleed blue.
Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.